Lord, speak to your people today. We need you, Lord. We need you so much. I don't want to even want to take a step without you. We love you, Father. We thank you for the Word of God that is just always there for us. We praise you. We thank you. Open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Do you remember the first time that you learned about God's love? The first time maybe you heard that God loves you? First time that you experienced or read it in your Bibles that God loves you, and you think about, or I think about, God's self-sacrificing love. It was self-sacrificing. It happened on a cross. He demonstrated and proved this love on a cross. He could have showed his love to us so many other ways, and he chose a cross to do it. And that was God's love towards the world, that he so loved the world that he gave his only son. And that demonstration became the total amount of God's love. There was nothing more. It was all of God's love on that cross. He didn't save some back. He didn't pull a little bit back and, you know, put it in a reserve. But it was all of love. And the world cannot identify with that. And it's very even hard for a Christian to comprehend that type of love. And why a cross, and why that method? And this is, and why your son, and why did he have to die? And it was all about that love, but it was the total amount of that love. And God says, I just want you to learn to respond to that love. To respond to that. And sometimes we have a hard time responding to God. But it's just responding to his love. Responding to what he did. God doesn't demand anything from us. He doesn't put demands upon us. He doesn't love us less when we fail. And he doesn't love us more when we do things that are appeasing to him. Because it was all. He poured his entire love upon that cross. So he doesn't demand anything. He just wants us to respond to that love. And if we don't respond to that love, he doesn't love us less.
Wow.
He doesn't love us less. It was all of his love, the entire amount. So do you remember the time that you first learned about this love? And it's a love that doesn't depend upon us. He doesn't love us less when we fail, and he doesn't love us more when we're in his will. He loves you. He loves you. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it talks about this is called the Shema of the Old Testament. And it says in verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Your Lord, your God is one God. And then he says this, and you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Not strength. It's not the original Hebrew. It is a form of strength. With all your might. It's different than strength. But it's going to revert back to strength. I'm going to show you how that's expounded. But this word might is such an amazing, perfect word in the Hebrew. And it means to respond repeatedly or quickly or speedily. God's saying, respond, love me, and respond to the love that I initiate to you, and do it quick, and do it speedily, and do it repeatedly. This is how we love, by responding. We respond, it's not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. Respond. It's responding. It's all that the believer has to do, is to learn to respond in that love. And then I love that. It's, hear, O Israel, hear that God loves you. The Almighty God loves you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Monotheistic. One God. There is one God. And that one God loves his creation. And that oneness. And then he says that you are to love with all. All of us loves the one. With all of our heart, with all of our being, with all of our actions, with whatever we do, with all of our soul, everything that makes up the soul of an individual, which Jesus is going to go over this, and he's going to quote from this, but it's all of our thinking, all of our emotions, all of our will. Our will is to love God. Everything that we do should be directed towards him. And then we're going to respond quickly, repeatedly, and speedily. The Shema, it's called. So what, you know, why does God use love here, and especially in our response to him, for us to get to know him more? It's a response of love. God arms us and equips us to deal with everything that comes against the believer, every attack that attacks your mind, attacks your thinking, attacks your body, every thought that comes your way, even in a negative format that the enemy throws against, is combated by love. We don't fight against it. We don't fight against principalities and powers and rulers. And as we try to fight against them, then we also start to fight against people who God tells us to love. So he equips us, he arms us to deal with these things. And I was thinking about that, and, you know, why? Why is our, you know, he gives us the armor of God, but all of that is wrapped up in God's love. Everything that we fight the enemy with or come against, or the full armor of God, is all been given to us by God's grace and his love. And that too. So why that though? See, because we have Men and women, we are sinners. And we have failed. And the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we have failed. And those failures, the failures that come against us, the failures that even come from just guilt or shame or condemnation, because those things make me look at myself and say, boy, I failed again and again and again. I failed God. And God just keeps loving you even though you failed over and over and over. His love towards you doesn't stop. It doesn't halt. He doesn't pull it back. Matter of fact, he pours it out even more. And says, my son died for that. What you're doing or what you've gone through, my son died for that. So there might be nothing in my mind that says, wow, I keep having this problem and that problem and this difficult. And how does God resolve that? By giving you more love. He overcomes our failures and our weakness and our sin by sending more love. So, these failures, this sin, this guilt, this shame in my life when I fail, starts to attack my heart. So this is why he says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Because it's under attack. And the heart is wicked and deceitful above all things, and you don't even know it. And these failures are flooding your heart. And God's saying, just keep turning to, respond to me. I know you're in a situation of your life and you're feeling condemned and guilty because what you did. But learn to quickly respond. In your failure, the key is to quickly learn to respond with all your might. Because your heart is being attacked. And your heart is having this emotional feeling that you are not worthy. And you're not. And he still loves you. And you are feeling like maybe a hypocrite. And you're feeling this way. And you're feeling that way. And you're being deceived by your feelings. So all this is under attack. All of that is attacking your heart. And dealing with your soul. How come sin and failure deals with your mind? It attacks your mind. It attacks your thinking. It attacks how we respond. Hey, let them fall. We'll raise them up. But we must learn to love ourselves. To learn to love ourselves. To learn to love ourselves with not human love. Many people get hurt and they turn to like a relationship. Like that's going to solve it. But we must learn to turn to God. And we must learn that love. We must learn that love. Because in our weakness, we're frustrated. We get down on ourselves. Oh, I failed him again. And we beat ourselves up. You know, do we really believe that we are, that we'll never sin again? You know, we are sinners. You're going to sin. There's only one that got victory over sin. Jesus Christ. And he did it through love. Love conquers sin. Love deals with the sin in your life. Love compels us to walk with Christ. Love is given to you. Love is poured out in your heart in Romans 5:5 to get us to respond to that love. We just respond. He initiates, we respond. And this is how we get victory over areas in our life. This is how we overcome things within our life that got us, that has a stronghold on us. Only by responding to his love. Only, and it seems like it could be the simplest thing, but God's love goes so beyond. And he died on the cross for the sins of the world. Sin has the stronghold. Sin inflicts the guilt and the pain and the temptations and keeps me in my addictions, in my habits, and in my weakness. And love says, I've given you that love so you can be a conqueror over that. Love gives us conquering attributes over the enemy that comes against us with all that he has. And Christ says, I loved him. I loved her. And that gives us this victory. It gives us this victory. Turn to Mark. I just want you to see how Christ deals with this. So what can stop sin? Love. Just love. Nothing else. We try to make our Christianity so complicated. And God says, just receive what I have for you. Just receive that love. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Mark 12, 28 says, and one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, and asked him, what is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, and he quotes the Shema, he quotes Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, and he says, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. And now look how Jesus adds to this even. And with all your mind and with all your strength. There he uses strength because this is the Greek and it translates into might. And this is the first commandment. And then he even adds to his answer. Because the gentleman only was interested in the first. But he said the second one is just as important. He said the second is like it. The second command is like the first. To love God with all your mind and with all your heart and with all your strength or your might. And with all your soul. And the second one is like it. That you shall love your neighbor. That you shall love thy neighbor as yourself, there is no greater than these. And he's not minimizing the other commandments, but the other commandments are all connected with these two. Because you're not going to steal if you love your neighbor. You're not going to commit adultery if you love your... You know, so all these other commandments are lined right into these first two. So it's love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and mind and your capacity by just responding to what God sends to you. And the more you're in the Word... You're going to read about this love letter that God gave for you. And it becomes hard not to respond. This word mind here is having a deep thought. Deep thoughts that bring understanding. This is what the mind does. The mind can have deep thoughts, but these deep thoughts are going to be about thoughts about God's love towards me. And I'm going to think about those thoughts. My mind, I'm not going to be thinking on things of the world. I'm going to change my thinking, and I'm going to start thinking about thoughts that God says about me. And he tells me he loves me. He tells me he loves me. He tells me he died for me. And we can keep it right within there. And I'm going to respond to that. And then the Holy Spirit is going to give me a brand new revelation to God's love. To God's love. And it starts here also by loving yourself. It's sometimes very hard. We counsel a lot of people. It's very hard for people to love themselves. You know, but this is God's word. And I'm just responding to what he says for me to do. Because how are we going to love others if we don't even love ourselves? How are we going to respond to that initiation to love others when I can't stand even being in the same room with myself? And you know, God says he created you in such a beautiful way. And you are perfect in him. Do you believe that? Do you know that you're perfect? Uh-oh. You want to see it? Let's read this then. Hang on a minute. Well, before I go there, I just want to hit one more. You know, a lot of times, love is felt. But what if it isn't? Does God love you less because you don't feel it? God loves you more probably when you don't feel it. Because then you've got to trust in him. Not everything is felt. Especially things of the Bible. The world tells you to perceive love by feelings. Not the Bible. The Bible says, just receive what he is. Just learn to respond what he is projecting. So sometimes we don't feel love. Sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't. So love is really affections that are put upon the heart, even without a feeling. Even without a feeling. The Bible tells me God loves me. Sometimes I don't feel that. But if the word says he died for the love of the world, I have to believe it whether I feel it or not. Because God's word says it. I have to learn to live according to the Bible without feelings and without sight. Everything we do is sight perception. And it's pretty funny because I can only perceive what's in this room right now. I can't even perceive what's going on in the nursery. I can't see that. Is it there?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
How do you know? You don't see it. You can't see that. But we know it. We dropped our kids there. So some things we without perception, but everything that we do today is all from perception. I respond to Christianity based on what I see and feel. And God is so greater than that. Because there are going to be times, I'm telling you now, where you don't feel that God loves you. And then we've got to go beyond how we feel. And we must know it. We must know that he died on the cross for you and for me. So love puts this affection on my heart. And then while that's taking place, grace starts to renew my soul. I'm starting to be renewed by these things that I'm not walking by how I see or feel. I just believe God, and that's called faith. And all of us have a measure of it. Grace does this. And then all of a sudden, God's going to open up that grace and that love. And you're gonna know the love of God. But then he might stop it to find out, hey, are you still walking with me?
Yeah.
Even though you don't feel it, do you believe me? Can you trust me? Can you trust me to deliver you from whatever you're going through? Can you trust him in that? Can you trust me to mend your marriage? Can you trust me to deal with these physical problems that you're going through? Can you trust me? Can you trust me in your fear? Can you trust me? Can you trust me that I will never leave you or forsake you? Can we trust? Where do those promises come from? From the Bible and from initiating and responding to love. Love opens up the Word of God for us. Love tells you that God loves you with an everlasting love. Love gives you these promises. Love delivers you through situations of life that we go through that are just overwhelming and troubling. Love carries you through areas where you ask, why did this happen? Only love can do that. Counsel can't do it. Counsel from another person can't do it. Another person you telling you, oh, I'm praying for you. Sometimes that it's just not there. We need God's love. Amen. Okay, so turn in. Let's close. Turn in First John chapter 4. You guys with me?
Yes. Yes.
So let's look at this. 1 John 4. It's very important that we learn to love ourselves, which enables me to love others in a capacity that God wants me to love each other, others, and to love others gives me a capacity for outreach and evangelism, and to share the gospel. Love towards the lost. How about love towards my enemies? How about to pray? Who has a capacity to love the person or to even pray for the person that used you, that took advantage of your love? You gave everything and they took advantage of it. How do we forgive them? How do we recover? How do we allow God to put the pieces back together so I can live my life for Christ? Some of the tragedies that happen in people's lives and talking to them is beyond. And within that darkness, God reveals himself. Times like these are probably the greatest opportunities that we get to know God. Not saying that God can't reveal us but there are people that say, oh, God's blessing me, he loves me. And they use that. They use what they receive and what they get by saying that God is for me. David learned in his trials and in his difficulties and being in a cave that God loves him. Yeah. Not in the castle. Not as the king. He learned it in the cave. He learned it in areas of difficulties and struggles and setbacks in his life that his God loves him. And that he'll never leave him. And he's with him all the time. And he'll restore him. And he's my refuge, and he's my strong tower. This is when all the Psalms were written, not when he was in the castle, not when he was the king, or he was still the king, but not in those areas. But in the times when he was on the run from his enemies, And he had many times to slay his enemies. He could have killed Saul numerous times. And he said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. Wow. Amazing to think about that. So, in the areas of our setbacks and our hardships, can you learn to respond to love? 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that love is born of God and knoweth God. We get to know God in a greater capacity. In a greater capacity by loving one another. Mm. You know, Jesus said a comment about loving, you know, your enemies and your neighbor. And he used the Pharisees saying that the Pharisees love their own. What's so unique about that?
Yeah.
They even love their own, you know. But to love your enemies. Verse 8, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. How do we say we know God when we don't love? Mm. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In verse 10, here it is. And here is love. And herein is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And that's what it means to respond to his love. We respond not because we love God, but we respond because God loves us. And we loved him because when we were enemies, and we'll talk about that maybe at the Rev, when we're enemies with him, God sent his Son on our behalf. Nobody woke up and said, I'm going to love God today. And it's impossible to do that without accepting his Son. So it's not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This word propitiation is in 1 John 2:2 is where God gave a gift to us. He offered a gift to deal with wrath. The wages of sin is death, or the wrath of our sin is death. God gave a gift to deal with that wrath, to deal with the sin. Propitiation is in the old, it's the mercy seat. It's the place where the offering was brought. And it says that God sent his Son to be the offering. The gift was the offering. That's how much he loved you. There'll be no more offerings ever again. Once and for all. In Hebrews chapter 7. Nobody will shed their blood again. And thank God Christ did it all, because without that, we would never see God or know God. The amazing gift, this propitiation, the mercy seat. Now look at verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. God dwells in us. If we love one another, if we love one another, God dwells within us. If we love one another, God's love dwells within us, and his love is perfected in us. Let me ask you a question. Are you perfect?
Yes. God says we are.
I didn't ask that. Good answer, though. Are we perfect?
No.
No, we're sinners. We are sinners. Now, let me change the wording. Are we perfect in Christ?
Yes.
See the difference? Just two little words. We become perfect in Christ. Most of the time, we're analyzing ourselves according to the old nature. We're analyzing ourselves outside of Christ. You're going to be in Christ or you're going to be out. There's no in between. You're in Christ or you're out of Christ. If we analyze ourselves without of Christ, you're going to have a difficult time with life. Because everything is not going to measure up enough. Because the bar keeps rising. You ever watch the Olympics? You ever watch the high jumpers or the pole vaulters? Soon as they make one, what do? Raise the bar. You got that, now do this. Sooner or later, it's going to be too high. You're not going to make it. But when we look at ourselves, when we analyze ourselves outside of Christ, it's so easy to find faults with ourselves. I'm too this, I'm not this, I'm too this, I'm not this. And we go on and on and on, and it will never end. You can go to the greatest plastic surgeon in the world, you're not going to be happy with it. You ever see these people that are addicted to some of this stuff? Surgery after surgery after surgery after surgery after, and then you're going, ah, what did you do? Your ear's over here, man. But it's never enough. It'll never stop. And you know what? People are addicted to that. Some of the greatest movie stars, you know, where it hurts to smile. You know, they can't smile. They're going to crack. You know? But it goes on and on. Why? Where does that come from? It really is a poor self-image. Some beautiful people, how they look at themselves. And us too. If we're not in Christ, we'll start analyzing ourselves. Always to the worst. And then guess what happens when I analyze myself? Well, geez, I can't pick apart myself. Let me work on her. And I start analyzing others. And as long as I'm above her, I'm feeling good about myself. But that's not loving. That's not loving others. We are to look at no man or woman according to the flesh. We once looked at, we used to look at Christ according to the flesh, but we look at him no more. We don't look at people that way. And that's, again, that's a part of walking by sight. And your sight will deceive you. And your feelings and your emotions will deceive you. And your assessment of people is always wrong. Always. Do you really know that about a person? Even if you heard it from somebody, we make our own assessment now of that person. And it's demonic. It's Satan's tools. It's not love. Genuine love. And as we love God, and as we love our neighbors, then it's perfect. Then it becomes a perfect. And then that perfect love also then, a little farther down, I think, cast out all fear. Cast out all these demons of fear that we just bring upon ourselves. I'm petrified of snakes right now. I really am. I mean, I can't even go and take the garbage out at night. You know, we live on a canal and there are water moccasins there. They're nasty. But I can't even take out the garbage. I mean, I'm looking up. Honey, time for you to take the garbage out. I'm not going out by that garbage can. You know, but I mean, but that's how it plays with us, you know?
Yeah.
But fear is where we're trapped in our own anxieties and stress.
Yeah.
And we always think the worst. We think the worst of myself, I think of worst of the situation, and I think the worst of others. It's a terrible web. It's a terrible web. So his love is perfected. And that means it's not that you are perfect, but you're being perfected. It's a sanctification. We're growing and learning so much about this unlimited love. This amazing, unlimited, unconditional, unchanging, eternal love.
Amen.
Is we get to learn about it. Why? Not that I'm any good, but I'm learning to respond to what the Bible tells me I am. Mm. And now I have and I'm a new creation now. I'm a new creation. I've talked to people, and they tell me all about their problems, blah 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 blah, and you're just exhausted by the time you get done, you know, boy oh boy, but then you talk to them again, and they're going right back to the same stuff, you know. Hey, didn't we cover this already? Didn't we talk about this? What happened to the new creation? You're going back in the past telling me what was wrong with you as you grew up. Christ died for that.
Yeah.
We get to live in the new creation. That's why Paul said in Philippians 3, I've learned one thing, to forget the things that are behind.
Amen.
It's imperative that we learn to forget our past and go on with God in this new amazing love that God has for you every day. He rolls out the carpet for you to learn and to know, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might and your strength and your mind. And every part of your being, we get to love God with.
Yes.
Every part of it. Why? Do we know this love? Not even close. We're responding to what he's going to give you that day. And he just lavishes you with his love. He says, this how much I loved you. And this is why Christ was crucified. Because his arms were extended. And it goes beyond. It goes beyond. It's not north. His hands weren't up this way. They were out this way. Because east to west goes on forever. His love goes on forever. He loves you. He loves us so much. Let's... Did I say we're closing yet? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 13. I'm not going to read this entire chapter, but you want to learn how much you want to learn about the love of God. I would make this your reading every morning because it's amazing. And every time I read it, I mean, I don't know why I don't read it, and I don't myself, but I want to put myself to that because there is so much in this chapter. And it's that charity, or the word is agape. It means love. It never fails. You know, people will fail you. Situations will fail you. Life will fail you. All kinds of circumstances will fail. You'll be discouraged. You'll be upset. Things And once you start getting upset with circumstances and situations, then things start to trouble you. The small details of life just trouble us. You know, and I'm troubled with this, and I'm troubled with that, and I'm upset with this, and I'm upset with that. And it just keeps building. But one thing that we can rest assured of, that his love never fails. Never. I just want to read these first three verses. And think about it this way. There's three questions here. Three questions. And you know, if sometimes we don't experience God's love, you know, when we start to see weaknesses within our lives and shortcomings and failures, it just means that we're not experiencing his love. And we can easily do that by just responding to him. So, in 1 Corinthians 13:1, the question, and there's three questions. The first question is, who am I? Who am I? And it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become, and there's a who am I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If I can speak with tongues of men, there are 6,500 languages in the world, sometimes up to 7,000, depending on tribes and different things. And you can master them all. You can master them all. But what have you become? Who are you? Who are you if you? Who are you even if you were able to understand the language of angels? And tongues of men speaks of quantity because of the amount. Tongues of angels speaks of quality, because when God used an angel to speak to people, Mary, different people in the Bible, it was very clear and it was very precise. It wasn't, you know, sometimes when we talk, we can misunderstand, especially on our phones, we can misunderstand people, even in communication. But there was no lack of communication when angels speak. But let's say I accomplish that. Do you still know who you are? Yeah. And the Bible says, without love, you're just noise. That's something. You're just a tinkering. You know, both of these instruments are useless unless put within an orchestra. By themselves, if we did worship just this way, it would be rough. You know, because there's no, it's not a flowing sound to it. And that's what we would be like without love. And this whole thing means whatever we're doing, hopefully it becomes motivated by love. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, that love compels us. If we are not motivated by love, what is your motivation for doing anything? Yeah. And so many churches are about so many other things. But if the church doesn't do it in the essence of love, we don't even have a church. No. We don't have nothing. We don't even have one another. And this is what when Paul was saying in Corinthians, he says, you've started to devour one another. You know? People are getting under your skin. People are upsetting you. Comments that they make, things that they do, different mannerisms. I'm getting annoyed and irritated. It's because love doesn't have its perfect way. But this is it. What, you know, this is what Paul is saying to this church. Who are you? Who are you without having love as your root to this? The second one is, so it's who am I? Second one is, what am I? What am I? Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I can understand all mysteries, I have all knowledge, and though I have all faith, look at that. And my faith is so great it can even move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. I'm nothing. I can study my Bible, I can learn my Bible, I can get revelations from God on the mysteries of God. I can have great understanding to the meanings of the words through the Holy Spirit, through prayer. I can have faith that I can move mountains, that I can just have an anointing over prophecy. I can speak prophecy. And if I don't have love, I'm nothing. What are the gifts? There are people that want the gifts. What are the gifts? Without love, what are they? Do they mean anything? They can't even do anything for us. The essence of having love within me. What have I accomplished? What have I gained? What have I gained by doing all this?
Nothing.
Number three, third question. So it's what am I? Or who am I? What am I? And the third one is what I do. What do I do? Number three, verse three. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. I could have all these humanitarian plans of giving to the poor, feeding the poor, doing everything for those that don't have. It could be a great outward showing, but if it's not motivated in love, if it doesn't come from love in my heart, you're doing a program that is nothing. It's in 1 Corinthians 3, it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's a work, but there's going to be no reward for the work because it's not done in faith and it's not motivated in love. Everything that we must do in the church must be from love or it's not worth it to do. It won't change you. You know, the word won't even change you because the word was written in love. The letter is love. The message is love. It's a message that no other religion has. And it's not a religion. Relationship is love. So this is why we're not a church of religion. Religion is conforming and making people do things even outside of love. Just do it. Do these 12 commandments. And if you do those, I'm going to add 10 more. And keep doing and doing and doing. But you'll never appease people. This is why the grace message and the love message is so amazing. Because it says, come as you are. You know, I have people that I talk to. Oh, I've got to clean up my... I've got to stop this and stop this before I come. Really? Where is that written? Because the Bible says you are a sinner and that should make you come. Yeah. Not that you're clean. Not that you've cleaned yourself up. No. Christ wants you to come. Even with all these questions and all these doubts, just keep coming. Keep believing. Keep responding. Keep responding to the love of God. One more verse. 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 7. Love, so it says, bears all things, And that means persistent. You're persistent in what God has called you to do. If God puts it on your heart, it's coming from the Holy Spirit. We're responding to the Holy Spirit, and you just want to be faithful in the small things. Just be persistent. Just bear it. Just keep bearing that. Keep bearing. The load will get lighter. Oh, it's too heavy a load. I can't bear it. Give it to Christ. You're not intended to take it. Just give it to Him and keep coming. Keep hearing. Bears all things. Be persistent in all things. How about this one? Believes all things. Believes all things. That's a tough one for me. Because I don't trust anybody. I mean, I have a problem trusting anything. You know, I'll see somebody at a store and I'll see him putting stuff in his car. Look at that guy. He's stealing. You know? I mean, I'll think the worst of everything. And it was Richard Warmbrand, his wife, seeing that they were just getting off of a train. And they seen this one guy going by another guy and pickpocketing him. And Richard goes, seeing, he says, "You see what's going on over there? Look at this." And the wife said, "Yeah, that first one is putting things in the other one's pocket."
Aww.
But it's how she looked at everything that way. She believed the best in people all the time. Never looked at their failures. Always thought the best of them. Always thought they were doing the right thing. Never speaking a negative word about them. Always believing that God is doing a great work in people. Always establishing people, always building them up, always edifying them. Hey, we can criticize people all day long. We can have rap sessions that we do nothing but blast people. I mean, but what is that? That's not believing God in all things in their life. Hey, but they're still doing this. They're still doing this. Like Pastor Shabelli said, he ran a rehab center similar to like what me and Steve do. And but he was being paid to do it, and the head of the guy that was funding the whole program said, "I'm closing this thing down. I'm done with this." And Pastor Shabelli goes, "Why?" He said, "Well, everybody's on the side. They're all smoking out there." Pastor Shabelli said, "You should have seen them last week. They're all doing heroin." I mean, look at what God's doing. Let's look for the best. Let's encourage people. Let's build them up. Let's give them a hope for living today, because people don't see a hope. The reason why we're overcome with our shortcomings and our difficulties is because we're failing to see the hope. Now, we don't walk by sight, but hope is things that are unseen.
Amen.
We're going to now start to look with spiritual eyes. This is what love does to the believer. It lets us look at people and look at for the best in them.
Yeah.
It says, "Wow, God's doing a great work in that person's life. Wow, you see them? You see how they're growing in Christ? Thank God for that." So, believes all things. The third one is hope all things. We hope for the best. We hope for things. We have a blessed hope. Our anchor is this life of the Christian walk that's anchored on a hope. It's anchored on a hope. Hey, our hope is Jesus Christ is coming soon. And these are things, again, we don't see in the natural. These are spiritual words, spiritual things. And then the last thing is, love endures all things. And I love endurance. And endurance means just continue. Just continue in your walk. Continue to get to know God. Continue to get to know this love. Continue to, and you know what? It says, you know, and Jesus said, "Abide in me," in John 15, which means just keep continuing, keep coming, keep hearing, keep getting built up, keep staying in the Word of God, keep praying, keep believing God, keep believing God. You know, these four things here, what makes them amazing is they are all a point of view where our vision is upward. It's not outward. It's upward. And this is where we must learn to get our focus on things upward. Things are too damaging downward or outward. The longer I look outward, the more critical I'll get. Because this is the world system. And most people's focus is we don't know how to think spiritual or even see or look spiritual. We analyze things on what we see. We make decisions on our viewpoints. Our day is planned on how we look at things. We replace faith with sight. We replace faith with sight. And it's hard for people when things are difficult and we're going through struggles in life and setbacks to have faith and to even have a hope. But the Word of God tells us about this. And it's all through God's love. It's all about learning the love of God. This amazing love that goes beyond how I feel, what I see, what I'm encountered with. Love is beyond your strongholds of your life, beyond your addictions. Those are nothing compared to the love of God. God's love breaks the chains of all of that. He gives us victory through his love. We already have victory. Love destroyed sin. Love did that. Love died on the cross. Broke the chains of sin within people's life. Sin is what leads to the addictions. Sin is what leads to the shortcomings, and we're all sinners. And we're not going to get victory over them in self-help books or physical strength. We get victory over these through the Word of God and through God's love towards the believer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today. We thank you for your love, Lord. We know that your love never fails. And we know that that all these things are going to pass away except for love. The Bible says for us to put away childish things. Just put those things away. Start believing in what Christ has done. Start believing the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that love suffers long. It's patient, it's kind. It doesn't repay evil for evil. Lord, we thank you for your amazing love. To know that you loved us so much. And we have great victory.